Okay, we're up to Perek Lamed Ches, Pasik Yutes. Chai chai hu yodecha. Kamoni hayom. Av levanim yodia es el amitecha. Chizkiyo is continuing to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for recovering from his illness. And he says here that the living, simply the Pasik, this is just a poetic repetition, chai chai hu yodecha. Only the living have the ability to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a medrash that says the repetition of Chai Chai refers to the living giving thanks to the living God. Chai means a living human. Only the only true experience of reality is a living human being giving thanks to a living God, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For a living human being to give thanks to an idol, that's Chai Moves. For someone who's not alive, a person leaves this world and he comes to Elohim Emes and he gives thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu, okay, that's a good thing, but it's not ideal because the purpose of creation is to live in this world and give thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Chai, the first Chai refers to the human being, Chizkiyahu, referring to himself. The second Chai refers to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the ultimate. A Chai, a living human being, giving thanks, recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the true source of life, not anything other than that. Chai Chai, or simply means Chai Chai, it just means that, look at Rashi, Chai Chai, Lashon B'nei Adam. The repetition, Rashi says, is just a poetic expression of human beings who tend to repeat themselves. When there are living people in this world, that is life. Okay, so this is so chai chai hu yodechu, that he will thank you. Kamoni, like me hayom, like me today. I am alive in this world today. I thank you, and that is what the purpose of this world is. Other people should thank. Look at the mitzudos. The mitzudos stav it pasuk yutes es chai chai kol chai chai hu yodechu, all living creatures. Kamoni hayom kaasher ani hayom chayim umodi lucha, just like I am alive today and well and healthy and thank you, that is what other people should do as well. They shall learn from me. Now he says of livonim, a father to a son. Here, this was the chait of Chizkiyo. This is the reason why he became ill. Yeshaya told him tzav leveischa kiata meis, command your home, you're going to die, because he did not marry. He felt that he saw Pli Ruach HaKodesh, or whatever it was, they would have a son Menashe and Amon, grandson Amon, and they would bring Klal Yisrael on a spiral downwards. So he decided not to marry, and his Yishai told him, that's none of your business, you have to do what you're supposed to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do what he has to do, and that's why you're going to die. He did tshuva, he was makal upon himself to marry, and indeed he married the daughter of Yishai, Chefsiva was his wife. And here he is acknowledging that he has a debt to pay to Hashem. He has a debt. The debt is of Livonim, a father to children. He will marry, have children, and he will tell his children about the great miracle that Hashem did for him and spared him from his illness. So that is the veiled reference why he refers to of Livonim, the Lulim to the Stavi, of Livonim, ki of Malam, Livonim, Moedim, Amiticha. A father teaches his children, he teaches his children about the children of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ch'omor, Hinei K'morchei Neseg Amani, I will do the same, K'she'echya, when I will live, Y'oilid Bonim, and have children, Alamdeim, V'odiim, Amiticha, I will teach them your truth. The pasuk concludes, Of Levonim, Yodi will make known, El Amitecha, your truth concerning the truth. Pasuk Yud Chof, Hashem,
did you say that Chai is a
Russian shvur? Chai, yes, Chai Hashem. So here you want to say that the fact that it says it twice, it's a shvur, Chai, Chai hu yoducha, so you want to homiletically interpret this pasuk that he's making a shvur. Chai, Chai hu, and it's third person referring to himself. I swear, hu yoducha kamoni, how does the word kamoni fit into the pasuk kamoni hayom? Okay, you have to play around with the pasuk, but perhaps it's an idea. That's a very interesting idea, because chai does indeed mean a shvur, lashon of a shvur. Pasuk chaf says, Hashem lehoshieni, Hashem, you have saved me. Look at the mitzudos David. What's lemer? Hashem omar lehoshieni mehecholi v'chein asa. So you have to add a word in. A lot of these pasukim are written in the short form. Hashem said, add the word Omar after the word Le, otherwise it's very hard to translate. Hashem Omar Lehoishieni. Hashem gave his command that I should be saved, and therefore Unigi nosai ninagain, I will sing songs. Negina, to play musical instruments and sing songs. The Mitzudos David says, Neginas Hashavach Chaze Ana Geno, Ani veHamishoyrim Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei, I and the singers, those that accompany me, will sing songs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in thanksgiving for what He has done for the remainder of my days. Because You said to save me, I will do my best to thank You. Kol Yimei Chayenu Al Beis Hashem. Al here means in the Beis Hamidosh, we will come to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk of Aleph. Vayomer Yesh. So after that pretty much concludes his Michtav. Okay, so these are very, like we learned before, these are very difficult psukim. Started with Pasuk Tes, and that's it. That concludes the Michtav L'Chizkiyahu, who described his Matzav, his dire situation where he thought he would die. Bidmi Yomai, in the prime of his days, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis upon him. Hashem said that he should be healed. He was healed, and therefore Yeshaya says, "I will thank Hashem for the remainder of my life." I may have to put it on. I have to turn it up over here. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thank you very much. Okay. Now that we've included the Smichtav, now we come to Yeshaya's response. Vayomer Yeshayahu Yisu Develes Teinim. Here Yeshaya is instructed through HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give Chizkiyahu the refuah. What is the refuah? Wasn't any, they didn't have the pills in those days with veggie caps and or anything that you swallow or take any injection and any shot. It was a very simple solution. The home remedy was the velest edim. It was pressed figs. Okay, they took figs and they crushed them, and they pressed it, and they applied it to his body. It seems that he had some type of tsaras, leprosy, or some type of boils. What does it say? Shchin. Boils. So he told them, all right, it says here, Allah Shchin, right? Allah Shchin Vayachi. Yisus, they should lift up. I'm not sure the significance of why Yisus means to lift up. Yikhu, it means here, translate to take. Take, you take something, you, so it's just say, kach. Why does it say Yisu? Pasta should say Kach the Velas Te'enim. Obviously, there's something more meaningful in this nuance of Yisu. But lift up a Develas Te'enim, a pressed figs, the Yimruchu al Hashchin, and smear it on the boils, the Yechi, and you will live. You will live. You will live. Now, what, there's a Medrash. The Medrash says that the nature of pressed figs is dangerous. It's not what the doctor would normally prescribe. That's I'll read you here the Medrash. The Medrash says, Yisu develes teinim, the lama develes teinim. What's the purpose of this? It's really Rashi alludes to this. Let me just read you the Medrash here. Rashi shortens this. Amar Rabbi Shimon and Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon and Gamliel Oimer, bo re'e kama mufroshin, let's learn from this how different the ways of Hashem are from the ways of man. A doctor gives something sweet to heal a wound that's bitter. The shchin is bitter, whatever that means, and dvelim, a concoction of pressed figs, is also bitter, and no doctor would ever have a havamina to take a medicine that's bitter to heal a wound that's bitter. But Hak hates that. Noisein dover hamechabel, something which can cause harm. Lesoch dover hamischabel, into something which is harmful. Kidei laasos bones, in order to perform a miracle, and the miracle here is to heal Yeshaya. And here the elaborates, Kayotze Ata Omer, here's really what Vayomer Yeshaya Yisu Develas Teinim, Hakub Haloi Bosa Chai Kishaata Nosna Love Develas Teinim Yodhu Nisrach. If you take Shchin, Shchin boils is raw flesh, and if you apply to Shchin you take this thing, this the figs, it's going to cause it to get worse. Hakeitzat no san davar hamachabel l'sof davar hamachabel kedei lasis banis. So this was a miracle like we have by the bitter waters. We have in Parashas Beshalach, they had the waters were too bitter to drink, and Hashem told Moshe, take something bitter and throw it into the bitter waters, and that would sweeten the water. It was nothing less than a miracle, and that's exactly what's happening over here. It's a miracle. Rashi here says, "Dil seinim develas suasim yateinim kashem lachim kruim teinim uchshnidrasim beigul kruim devela." When you take figs and you press them, you put it into a mold. It's called a devela. The yimruchu the yachlikuhu ledovka alashchin, and smear these pressed figs on the boils. The neis besoch neis. So Rashi here is paraphrasing the medrash. Sha'af basar chay kesh neis malov devela masriach elak lashparchu neis davar hamachabul sotav hamachabul merape. That's the Rashi. That's the medrash we just quoted. That this was the miracle. That why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu perform this in the form of a miracle? That's because that this was one of Chizkiyahu's major achievements, major teachings, accomplishments in his life that he put in the Gneza, the Sefer HaRefuos. There was a Megillah of Refuos. There was a book that had the remedy for every single illness in the world, and people never were, anyone that was ill, they would look at the Sefer HaRefuos and they would be healed. Now, even though that appears to be a little bit of a contradiction to the other message that we said, that no one ever healed from an illness in the time until Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was famous. He was the first one that recovered from a terminal illness, as we discussed yesterday, and that's why we mentioned those psukim of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Chizkiyahu thanked Hashem for Tchiyas HaMeisim, and he acknowledged that he was the first one that received a token of Tchiyas HaMeisim. But yet, it appears in his day, anytime a person was ill, there was a book. You look up the book, you go online, you type in the illness, and it tells you exactly what to do, and you were healed. So either you have the answer is that those type of sicknesses were not terminal illnesses. Those were illnesses, and people were sick, but they were able to cope with it. They lived out their days. But a person that was deathly ill, that no one ever recovered from. That could perhaps be one approach to answer this contradiction. Did people recover or did they not recover?
Or maybe they used it right away and they never got to the stage
where they became terminally ill. That's what I mean. You're saying it wasn't a terminal illness. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, is that it wasn't a state where they were a chol ha'masukun. A chol ha'masukun never recovered until the time until Chizkiyahu himself. He was the first one. And this that we find that they were healed refers to earlier stages, or where it was not an illness which can terminate their life. And so here, what's very interesting is that here, this was the very great Nisayon, that how could it be the Chizkiyahu himself, the one who hid the Sefer Refuah, so people should not come to rely upon medicine, but instead they should return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and pray to Hashem that Hashem should heal them. How could it be that he himself now is being healed through a medicine? We would think, until now, someone was sick, they took the medicine, and they didn't even bother to make a mishaberach and shul. They didn't even bother to be mispala. So Chizkiyahu says, take the sefer fools, hide it. Get rid of it. Everyone, the only way. What?
After I use it for myself.
Exactly. So what's going on over here? So this is discussed by many of the commentaries, but over here, according to Rashi, the Medrash, basically, it's even better. Because he took poison. He didn't take, it wasn't a natural refuah. If it was a natural refuah, this is what it says in the book, or even if no one even heard of this, and Yeshayahu is giving him some type of concoction to take and he'll be healed in a chanami, then what's going on? That practice what you preach. You're supposed to be mispalos, how could you yourself take medicine? Pumfa keret. Yeshayahu is giving him poison. Not only was Chizkiyahu mispalel the elaborate, beautiful tefillah we had two prokim ago, but Yeshayah is not giving him a refuah. He's giving him something which was accepted in the world as the ultimate poison, the worst thing you can possibly do for this wound. To take figs, crushed figs, pressed figs, and smear it on your wound, this is suicide. And yet, miraculously, he was healed. That's why he had to go pumfa keret to the extra step. Not just tefillah, but to do things which would be strange in the eyes of man. Pasuk habeis,
v'yomi chizkiyahu. As far as Yisu being hikru, the RX on the on perception is Latin to take thou. So
to take, this Latin
take
for?
Thou.
Take thou.
It's
you shall take.
To the pharmacist, take thou.
Take thou. Interesting.
Like who, you know?
Wow, I never knew that. That's what I read to
you. The other thing is, before antibiotics, the way they used to treat boils was something used to be called a black salve. There was no antibiotics.
Yeah.
That black salve sounds like pressed figs.
Pressed
figs.
You know,
figs that are black figs.
Interesting. So that's really what it means. Rx means take thou. Interesting. Yikhu. Here is Yisu Develestein, a very interesting expression for applying medicine. Not to take, but to lift up. Okay, now Chizkio says, Vayamach Chizkio says, Mo'os. Now, Mo' here is used in an unusual way, at least according to Rashi and the Mitzvah, it means how beautiful. I am pleased. Mo'. Mo means, what is this? Mo'os, or it would be simply translated, is a question. What is this sign? Ki e'leh Beis Hashem, that indeed I will be healed and I will have the opportunity to go to the Beis Hamikdash and thank Hashem. But that, then, what's the answer? We don't find the answer in the Pesukim. So that's why Rashi and others translate the word Mo'os means basically thank you. What a beautiful sign this is for me, that you, Yeshaya the Navi, has come to me and told me that Hashem has accepted my prayer and has given me this refuah, this miraculous refuah of the pressed figs, and has informed me that I will be able to ascend to the Beis Hamikdash and thank Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi Pasek Chav Beis, Ma'os, Matov Umano'ah. How good and beautiful, Ozeh Hanitan Li, that has been given to me. I guess the sign is everything. The pressed figs and the information. The statement of Yeshaya that indeed I will be healed. Asher Ele Beis Hashem. Let's look at the Mitzudos Pasuk of Beis. Mo'os Matov Mano. The same thing as Rashi. Paraphrase Rashi. Ho'os Haniflo Hazeh. This miraculous sign. Asher Nirpasi. I have been healed. So I guess, according to the Mitzvah, I think he seems to be focusing more on the pressed figs, that it was a contradiction. It was something which would normally be poison. V'uchal alois lebeis Hashem. So this is the conclusion of the story of the healing of Chizkiyo. So let's just sum up. What we had over here was two different major events happening at this point in time. Yerushalayim was threatened by Sancheriv, and Chizkiyo suddenly fell ill because he did not get married. And basically, both of these things happened at the same time, where he was mispalel to Hashem for himself, for healing, and he was mispalel also for Klal Yisrael, they should be saved from Sancheriv. And both of them were given to him at the same time. Both of these events, it's very interesting to understand deeply what this means. They're intertwined. The healing of Chizkiyahu occurred at the same time of the miraculous miracle of survival of Klal Yisrael at this very difficult time where Sancheriv threatened to destroy them. And both of them were fulfilled, and now Chizkiyahu promises that for the rest of his life he will tread very carefully and go to the Beis Hamikdash and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And his expression over here is Unegino Sai Ninagein. Nowhere do we find the word Shira. That's very interesting. We find the word a Michtav, a document of thanks. We find the word Negina, Negino Sai Ninagein. There are all different expressions of seeking Hashem's truth, but we don't find the word Shira, song. And we know, as we mentioned many times, that that was what he was criticized for, not singing Shira at this point in time for the miraculous survival of Klal Yisrael. Now, before we go to the next paragraph, I want to say something very interesting. I came across this almost by accident this past Sunday, Hashkocha Pratis, and I was amazed. I was baffled by this incredible insight in the Nusach Atzila. Davening on Monday and Thursday, we say Vuhurach. Right, we all say, everyone shudders. You look at to the Omer, oh, do we have to say Vurachim today? maybe today is some, who knows, some Yomtif, some Yartzeit, some event. There's a bris, a chasam, there's a sandik here. And you look around, and you go, oh, there's no one to save us. We have to say Vurachim. Okay, so you say, isn't that feeling the most people have in shul? when you say V'racham. Okay, but it's a very holy prayer. And after we finish V'racham, you're not finished. You think you're finished. After you say V'racham, not finished. You're full Tachlon. And then when you get it from Tachlon, you got to insert a whole, an additional section before you can say Shomer Yisrael. Before you say the three times, Shomer Yisrael, Shomer Goyechod, Shomer Goyekodosh, you have to say Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shuv Mecharon Apecha V'inochem Al Har Olam. Now that is a pasuk in from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispelled for Klal Yisrael at the time of the Chet Egel. He said this pasuk, and in fact we repeat this pasuk how many times? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 5 times this pasuk is repeated. And we also at the very end, right before we say Shomer Yisrael, the last time we say Azreinu Elokei Yisrael Valdorak Vod Shemecha, that's also a pasuk. That is a pasuk in Tehillim, and really that's borrowed from the end of the from the phrases of Shomer Yisrael. We say Shomer Yisrael twice, three different Shomers. Then we say Misratze, and then we say Va'anachnu Lo Neda Manaseh, and we conclude the Shatz concludes Azreinu Lekei Yisrael Valdavar Kvot Shemecha V'yatzleinu V'chaper Al Chalitzin Laman Shemecha. A pasuk in Tehillim, that pasuk was extracted from there and also copied and put at the end of this nusach of Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So it appears, everything I'm telling you now is nothing is certain, but this is what appears from what I've seen all of this in the Talalei Oros on Tefillah. Everyone I'm sure is familiar, you've seen this. There's a very popular set called Talalei Oros. They have 10 volumes in Chumash, and they have on the Haggadah, and they have the Moadim, and they have the Megillos. They have the problems, and they have a lot of stuff. Now they're putting out, the person who did it was Nifter, very young. Very, very tragic story. Not so long ago, he was Nifter. And now, I'm not sure exactly who's doing this, but someone now is doing another run through Chumash. It's called Shnayim Mikra. The same exact style someone now is putting out in his style on Chumash, 5 albums. Not 10 volumes, doing exactly the same thing, picking up where he left off. But I think his name is Reuben. If I'm not mistaken, the person who wrote this farm is Reuben. Now, one of the best kept secrets about the Talalei Oros, it's not such a secret, but I don't think people know about it as much as they should, is he has 4 volumes on Tefillah. And those 4 volumes on Tefillah are out of this world. They are just packed with gems. It's awesome. I can't even begin to describe to you how amazing these 4 volumes are. There, he has a few pieces on this section of the Tefillah. And this is what everything I'm telling you now is from secondhand, because I didn't see the source inside, but then I tried to figure out what he says, because some things a little bit cryptic, and this is what it appears, this is what I've gleaned from reading his interpretation of this Nusach HaTefillah. Azreinu Elokei Yisheinu is not part of the Ikur Nusach HaTefillah. That was somehow added for some reason. And after all, it's repeated, so it does appear to be a little bit strange. I would say this pasuk twice at the end of the edition, the addendum, where we add, where we insert, and then we say it at the end of Vanachnu Lones. That's not there. The Ikur part is Habet, the expressions of Habet, Mishamayim Ure'ei, the expression of Zorim, Oimrim Ein Tocheles, the expression of Chus Hashem Oleinu Berachamecha, and the expression and the whole section of Koleinu Sishma. Okay? So it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Someone composed these 4 paragraphs. Habet, Zorim, Chusa, Koleinu. In addition to composing these 4 paragraphs, they also originally decided that you should say the pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shuv Mecharon Apecha before you say it and after you say it. Twice, just twice. It appears that we say Hashem Elokei Yisrael in between each of the 4 paragraphs is in a later addition that for some reason became the custom. But primarily it was meant to be said before and after. Okay, so we have 4 paragraphs, Habet, Zorim, Chusa, Koleinu, and before you say these 4 paragraphs, you say Hashem Elokei Yisrael before, and when you finish all four, you say Nachamol Hashem Elokei Yisrael. For some reason, Azreinu Elokei Yisheinu was added at the end, and for some reason, we repeat Hashem Elokei Yisrael in between each one of the paragraphs. Now, who composed these four paragraphs? Now the pasuk goes Reinu Elokei Yisheinu Dov. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. Okay, that's a pasuk. Okay, there's nothing to talk about. We don't have to worry about anything. But the truth is, a lot of these psukim are part of it from Tehillah, from Eicha. There are a lot of questions you can ask of how exactly it all came together. But what he says there is that there's a tradition that these four paragraphs were composed by Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And they were composed, this was part of the tefillah that he prayed on behalf of Klal Yisrael when Sancheriv was at the front gate just about ready to destroy Klal Yisrael. And how do we know this? Because the letters of Habeit Zorim Chusa Koleinu spell Chizkiyah. The Chusa, it's not in order, but the first letter of Chusa is the Ches. Then the last is the Kuf then comes the Zayin, Zorim, Oimrim, Chiz. Then is Koleinu is Kuf. And Chiz, Yud, Hashem, Elokei, Yisrael, Shuv, Mecharoi, Na'pecha, which is appended, which is part of the prayer, is the Yud. And Habet is the Hey. So Hashem, it's really five. I mean, one is Pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's Hashem, Habet, Zorim, Chusa, Koleinu. We take these five. What?
Where's the
Vav? No Chizkiyahu. It's Chizkiyah. So you're asking a very good question. You're asking, but isn't this a modern... is it Chizkiyah or Chizkiyahu? So that's a very good point. That's a modern day invention that we shortened the name from Chizkiyahu to Chizkiyah. That's not so simple. It appears that even in ancient times, I don't know the details, but that's a topic in and of itself. If it actually says, maybe it does say in Tanakh Chizkiyah. Or it only says Chizkiyo? I don't know. I don't know. But that's a topic. You talk about Yeshaya. Is it Yeshaya or Yeshayo? We once spoke about this. So it's really Yeshayahu. Why do we say Yeshaya? So there are different reasons. But you say the same when it comes to Chizkiyo. Was it shortened? This is what it says during the Talei Aras. And that's why we have these four paragraphs with Hashem Elokei, which is Chizkiyah. And if you read these expressions, perfect. Now you really can understand. When you're davening Monday, Thursday, you should take yourself back in time, make believe you're in Yerushalayim. Sancheiv already destroyed, he conquered the world. He sent into Golus the Aser Sashvatim. He went to Kush and Mitzrayim, and he conquered them. And now he's coming back with all their spoils. And it's just a matter of minutes. It's curtains. It's all over. And here you read exactly Habeit Yishamayim, and it was what was one of the unique events that happened in the time of Chizkiyah was there's Cheref Umegadef, Rav Shake, this was unprecedented. We don't have, Tanakh, but I don't know if we have to such a degree any time in prior in history where there was such a blatant disrespect for the Ribbono Shel Olam, even Paro. We don't find middle pair coming out of Paro. Mi Hashem. We find Apikorsis. Who is Hashem? Asher Eshma B'kol. Who is this God? I should listen to you and I should send out. We don't find. Paro was just an Apikorsis or whatever he was.
How about Golias?
Golias. Alright, it's a very good book, Golias. Okay, we have to go back and study the Pesukim. We have to study the Pesukim. Golias was, I don't know if he was fighting Klal Yisrael as a nation to the degree that Sancheiv was coming to conquer as a nation.
But in terms of
the Pelishtim, but it was when Golias was Mecharef Megadef, he wasn't Mecharef Megadef Midin Melech of the Pelishtim. He was just a soldier, Golias. He was their top man. He was in the Marines. He wasn't necessarily representing the Malchus of the world. Here we have Sancheriv, who here conquered the entire world. He was the Melech of the Olam Hazeh, to a certain degree. And now he's sending Rav Shake and in front of the entire world, he's mechorev and megadev. The degree, could be I'm mistaken, but it appears that the degree of cheref v'giduf, of sancheref, was much greater than there ever was prior in the history of the world. Maybe yes, maybe not. It's something to look into and to understand. But now you read these expressions, it takes on new meaning. On Monday and Thursday, when you go through these expressions, we're just mockery among the goyim. They've already taken into Golus the aseres hashmadim with tzon l'tevach. Everything you have to understand the times. There's no hope. Strangers say, who are the strangers? Rav Shoke, Sancheirif, Ain't Tochelis v'sikva. There's no hope for you. What did Rav Shoke say? Did the gods of all the other nations save them from the power and the might of Sancheirif? Why do you think you're going to be different? Chon, we pray to Hashem, you who have compassion, Om L'shimcha Mekavi, your nation, to your name yearns, Tahor, Yeshua Seinu Karva. It fits very well. It takes on a whole new meaning when we go through these sukkot, understanding the context of when they were composed and in regard to what event they were composed. Okay, another thing, and this is very tricky to me, it says there in the Talios, that how do you know that it's Chizkiyah? Because the Gematria, I'm not a Gematria man, but he says that the Gematria of Chizkiyah is 130, and there are exactly 130 words in this prayer. Now, I want to just tell you something. In this Sefer Talioros, and not only that Sefer, many other Sefer, you see this all the time. This is the Gematria of this. And if you count the number of words, there's this number of words. Wow, what a beautiful Vart. I have to tell you that at least 50% of the time, if not 90% of the time, I do the calculation, and I don't know what in the world they're talking about. I don't know. They tell me they had 10 words, I counted only 8 words.
I think you're assuming make the numbers fit.
What?
Nobody's going to count.
No one's going to count, what?
They make the numbers fit.
They make it fit.
CPA.
So I have to say, I try this many times, and at least half the time it doesn't work.
Not the Balaturim.
What? Balaturim always works. No, I'm talking about these modern Chassidus Shverlach. I'm not talking about the Balaturim. I'm talking about Balaturim is. But the modern, and these type of Svarim which give you over the Nusach HaTfilah, so I don't know. So I always try, and I usually try hard, and I give up. And I don't know what the answer is. Sometimes they're in Makoilel, you know, you have to be very creative in how you may do the Matria. And many times there are many shinuyin in the Nusach HaTfilah. That's a very common thing. There's Nusach Sfar, Nusach Ashkenaz, and there's Nusach Ari, and there are many variations. So sometimes when it tells you, you go and count the number of words in Ezra, Yisrael, you'll find this number of words. What are you talking about? If you go study through all the old Siddurim, there are probably 20 Nuschos of the Ezra, Yisrael. 20 Nuschos of different minhagim, this Chabad, Ari, Ashkenaz, Sfar, and this and that, all the variations. So that's why when these Verlach have been written, that's true for the one that's writing the Vart. But when this is compiled in a leker, like the Talioros, which brings together everything you can dig up under the sun, and you're used to your Nusach that you have in the Archical Siddur, it's just not going to always work. So, oh wow, very interesting. 130, is the Gemash is 130 words. So I look, and it doesn't work. But after playing with it a little bit, I think what it means is that if you count the words of, I try this, it works, just the five paragraphs, the four paragraphs, Habet, Zorim, Chusa, Kolenu, and twice, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, one before and one after, which appears to have been the original way the Nusach was composed, indeed, it's exactly 130. Try. Don't believe me. Try it later on. It's exactly 130, and that is the gematria of Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah was the one who composed this tefillah, and it's very appropriate that we discuss it because we've spent so much time here in Yeshaya discussing what happened with Chizkiyah and this entire event. Because that concludes Perek Lam Meches. We have one more parak that tells us a little bit of a story of what happened until we go to Nachamu Nachamu Ami. So we'll stop here with Perek Lam Meches.